Alphalos shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Thrumkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Thursday, March 6, 2008. This is episode 53, entitled, What Works? I'm Aprilian, your host, and with me is...
Shayo. Sorry.
Our guest host for today, we're very glad to have him here.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, well, this week has been a non-event week, which is kind of weird because we've had so much going on in the land of Azeroth.
Mm-hmm.
But we can still talk about what we've been doing, and we're going to also give some hints and tips for alts and what works.
Okay.
Go ahead.
You can go first this week. What have you been up to?
Well... I gotta apologize in advance. My dogs are. I'm home alone with my dogs, so I can't isolate them like I usually do. So they might bark, and if they do, I'll kind of pause and try not to let it destroy your eardrums. But I've been dual boxing, of course, and with Aunt Rilia and Real Fire and Outland, and that's been a lot of fun. Outland is great. It's even better when you dual box, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I love the Outlands and dual boxing out there. You know, because it's all new, it makes a hell of a lot of difference, and it's so much easier when you've got two turns working on stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of collection things, but there's also a lot of other things that make up for that. Tons and tons of quests.
I don't really remember. I guess there is, but I don't really remember any Outlands quests where... You know, the collection quests had such horrific drop rates as some of the Azeroth quests.
Right.
You know, like that, trying to get that stupid rod off the out of the cave in Hillsbrad, the Herculean rod or something like that.
Right.
It's like you've got to clear out the cave about 100 times before it'll drop most of the time. I don't remember anywhere near as bad quests in the Outlands in terms of drop rates.
Yeah. The thing was that we had to pick flowers out by, what's that, Spinebreak? And
Spinebreaker Hold?
Yeah, Spinebreaker Hold. And then there were the Zeppelin pieces. That was 30 Zeppelin pieces.
Yeah, but they're lying all over the place. Yeah. You know, they're easy. Right. They're almost as easy as you know, go and kill 20 of these because they're all over the place. Right.
And then while you're doing that, you got to watch out for the Fellweaver.
Yeah.
He's nastier than the Devil Sores in Ungora Crater, that's for sure. And he hits harder. But what else? Real Fire Ding 60.
Hey, congrats.
Yep. She actually went from 58 to 60 quicker than Aunt Rilia has gone from 62 to 63, which she hasn't gotten to 63 yet. But, of course, that's because the XP rate slows down at 60.
Yep.
Yeah, patch 2.3 made it quicker to level from 20 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 60.
And I'm certainly seeing that. Yep. Yeah.
But it's neat because now she, I'm a little bit, I don't know what to do at this point because Real Fire has the level 60 mount, which is the Kodo.
Yep.
How do you feel about the Kodos?
Too big.
Yes.
to be perfectly honest. Especially around Undercity and in the elevators, it's just so annoying that you've got to dismount.
Yeah, to get through some of the doors. And you don't want to be on the elevator when the doors close.
Jekyll's died so many times on his Kodo in Undercity. It's just stupid. Because I'm not watching him, right? He's on follow.
Right.
Hyde runs in on his little wolf and I kind of flick my eyes around and Jekyll's stuck and dead.
Well, Real Fire had gotten the Brewfest Ram, which was great because it was much smaller and easier to get around. But of course, now the Brewfest ram that she got was a level 40, and now that she's level 60, you know, it's gonna save.
You want to go and buy your epic mount?
Right. Well, now I'm thinking, do I want to try dual boxing in Alterac Valley? I don't know, especially at 60 and 62, because it's kind of low level. I kind of wish I had done it at 50. I had thought about it, and she had done it at 59. Then she could have gotten all her marks and been ready for it. Have you done any dual boxing in PvP?
In Battlegrounds? No. I'm not really into PvP at all, to be honest. As you can tell with my level 18 twink that's never twinked.
Yeah.
Something about PvP, I don't know. It's not for me. I can't get into it.
Once I'm in it and it's kind of thrilling, of course, you know, whenever you're in it, there's always some 13-year-old boy who has faster fingers and knows all the macros and is constantly kicking your butt. But every once in a while you get in and you get that. It's a real adrenaline rush. And the thing I like about, that I've liked about Alterac Valley in the past is that there's other things to do besides just kill the enemy. You know, there's other quests to kind of get into and stuff. But I don't know if I'm going to do that. What would be really nice is if she could go over to Silver Moon and try to get exalted.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I don't know.
So that's apparently not as hard as it used to be.
Right. And at level 60, she could just, you know, one-hit everything.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, can a tauren ride a chicken?
I don't know.
It would be an interesting thing to see, you know.
I don't remember ever seeing one of them.
Yeah. I'll have to check, because usually it says somewhere whether or not you can, which races can ride them or not. But that would be interesting.
Yeah.
But, the other thing I've been doing is, I ran with the help of Vardellus, one of our guild mates from Iacta-S. I ran Aprilian through Tanaris and down through Angora Crater and out to Silthius, to the Sonorian Hole there. Did you know there was a moon well in the Sonorian Hole?
Yep.
Every 3 days in 23 hours, Aprilian flies out to Ashenville and runs her chicken down to that moon well. And it's so annoying because the moon well is not on the beaten path. She has to like climb over these boulders and jump down and be attacked by these low-level wolves and spiders. And then she gets in, and for one brief second, she creates moon cloth. And then
Hearth Home. There's one in the Ghostlands. So Ashiel goes from Shattrath to Silvermoon, flies down to Tranquillion. Okay. And there's one just out on the island there. It's like, you know, it's a real quick ride. You don't aggro anything.
Yeah, but she can.
And it's a short flight.
Oh, okay. But now
it's still a reasonable flight from Thunderbluff down to Silithus.
Right, but I can set it and then walk away.
Right.
You know,
yep.
And then come back.
Yeah, there's that. Yep.
And she's there. She does the thing, and then she can do the reverse. You know, it's the. Because when you have to actually run somebody down a road that's curving, and the way that Blizzard has done it, and I admire them for doing this, is that they managed to make it so that you can never just run straight anywhere. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to pause. Sorry. Okay, so back to the discussion. I mean, do you know what I mean? That you can't do auto run practically anywhere. When you run somebody straight, it's usually they're going to end up running off the... Shit. So, being able to run to fly straight to Silithus will really help Aprilian. And it was kind of easy, you know? I mean, yeah, she aggroed, but I just remember before running for flight paths, it took a little bit longer, and it was a lot, you know, a lot of dying.
It's not too bad running up the east side of Angora because, I mean, yeah, there's some slimes and raptors and things, but those big golem things are neutral. They won't attack you. So it's actually pretty easy getting the Angora flight path.
And even Silithus was easy because we stayed on the road, and before we knew it, we were at Cenarion Hole.
Mm.
Although we did track a couple of spiders, but Validus was a level 70. So that was kind of nice. Okay, and then the other thing that happened was I'm having a really bad week, month, on the Alliance Auction House. And it's really starting to affect my income.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, this is what happened.
All the kids going back to school or something?
No. Everybody's finding out how to get their pets. And people are...
Well, you've been telling everybody every week for the last year. Of course they're going to find out.
And people have been underpricing my pets. And it almost makes me angry because some of them are pricing, like... the Dragonhawk hatchlings for like 1 gold to 1.5 gold. So, you know, you're paying 50 silver for it. You're selling it on the auction on the neutral auction house, and you're paying something for that, you know.
Yep.
So eventually you're just making like 35, 40 silver.
Mm.
You know, a transaction.
Probably worth your while.
Yeah, on a transaction I was making 2 to 3 gold on, you know. I was trying at one point to charge.
Generally what you do, you want to control the market, so you buy theirs. You just buy them all out and put yours back up with a bit more of a profit on it.
Maybe I should try that. It's just funny because they've actually figured out almost every pet I had, including the cockroaches in Undercity. A pretty secret thing. Oh, but I don't think they figured out maybe I shouldn't say anything.
Perhaps you shouldn't.
Yeah. Something else in another place that they stuff like. So what that's done is it's made it harder for me to get arcane crystals, which have, you know, they're like 5 gold. 4 to 5 gold, maybe 6 gold on the Alliance Auction House. They're like 10, 12 gold on the Horde Auction House.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've bought them.
Yeah.
I remember when they were down to like 3 gold.
Right, and I remember when I was getting them. Remember when I was pretty excited about getting them? And of course, now I'm not mining anything that's getting it. I'm mining, fell, iron, and all that stuff.
So. Yeah.
So anyways, that's a thing. But I'm still making them, I'm still getting them, which Trishel is still making Arcanite bars, and then she sends it over to Vale, and Vale makes Arcanite rods and sells them for like 60 gold. So that's still good. But I just spent 540 gold on Railfire's mount. But I figured it's gonna even out, because pretty soon
You really do need an epic mount in the Outlands, so
right.
It's well worth it.
Right, even if it is a Kodos. Of course, she spent the 540.
Well, it's the training. All the costs in the training, so you have to buy the training.
Right, yeah. So anyway, and I guess that's about it. I've been trying to get Trishel up, and Aprillion. I'm really dying for Aprillion to get to 50 because right now her tailoring is at level 300. Which means that she
can't get any further.
Yeah, she can. She can't go any further until she gets to
50.
50.
Yeah, it's 50.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's got a whole bunch of mats to make mooncloth stuff and things. And I'm just dying to make some mooncloth bags. But what's the point of making stuff if you're not gonna get a point?
Mm.
You know.
So what level is Aprillion now?
41.
You haven't done anything on her. Aprillion neglected.
Well, but she's on the same account right now as Railfire. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Real Fire has been like my big push. Because all of a sudden, I think I want a level 70 alt. I mean, a level 70, you know.
I think it's about time you had a 70. I really do.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot more to the game than being level 70, but you know, there's a whole lot more for you to experience once you get there, so.
Yeah, so I'm hoping. Within the next, well, I mean, how long can you go from, yeah, well, never mind. It can take a long time. I also hope to be doing some dungeons. So they are, like, aren't there dungeons for Aurelia to do and Real Fire to do?
Oh, yeah.
The Hellfire Citadel?
Yeah, the Hell... Yep. So Ramparts and Blood Furnace.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they're pretty short instances. They're not like, you know, some of the Azeroth instances where it's going to take you know, dedicated hours to do it. They're actually pretty short and quick.
Mm-hmm. So that's my next thing. And I guess that's about all I've been doing.
Okay.
I really tried to get my priest, my level 14 priest, out for a little bit, but it's very hard to get back into low-level characters, you know, when you've been dealing with big characters. And is it my imagination, mm-hmm. But as you level, does your characters get bigger?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Okay.
The pets certainly do, so I would be certain that the toons do.
Okay. So now, what have you been doing?
Ashiel have both hit 40. In fact, the Ashiel's just hit 43 last night, and the Ashiel is about to hit 42. So that's really sad because that's now my third set of characters that are in front of Aprillion, so
right.
You really need to pull your finger out.
They're both riding now, huh?
They both got mounts, yes. And I had a love it. So Ashiel got there first, and you know, so she went to the priest training and did all her priest training, and then went and got my undead mount. It's the first time I've had a horse with an undead mount, so you know, that looks really cool as a shadow priest, because he's a shadow priest, so you know, hit level 40, I get shadow form.
Ooh, and the horse.
So I love
shadow.
The look of that.
Yeah,
love look of that. And then a shield hit 40, and I went to make sure I had enough gold for my training and my mount, and I went to my trainer, and he's like, "Oh, here's your free training for your riding." And I'm like, "Oh, that's right. Paladins get free mounts." So that was a nice little surprise for me that I completely forgot about.
Cool.
That saved me 90 gold. So they're riding around and doing all level 40 stuff. They've been through, you know, Scarlet Monastery several times, so they've both got some nice blues. So we're belting through the stuff. I'm really enjoying being a protection paladin. Doing AoE as a protection paladin is just brilliant. It's like I started off as a paladin, you know, being really tentative about, you know, trying to pull one or two mobs because they've got no ranged ability, so it's hard to not get within, you know, range and aggro a whole bunch of mobs because, you know, they've got no bows to shoot them with or, you know, a wand to shoot them with. But doing AoE, now I just charge into a room and just aggro as many as I can. It's like, you know, aggro six or eight mobs and get their attention and then just start destroying them with the priests. It's brilliant.
Wow.
It's the AoE on them, I reckon, as good as, if not better than AoE grinding with a mage. I'm really enjoying it.
And does he get a free mount at 60 as well? A free training?
No, it's like the warlock. You've got to do the quest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but then he gets a free... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, free-ish. By the time you're, you know, trying to find people to run you through... I forget which instance it is. I think it's Strath. You've got to run through there. Yeah, and you need all the Arcanite bars. So, you know, stop making those Arcanite rods and start sending me all your Arcanite bars. Thanks very much. it's not really free, but, yeah, I mean, I'll do it anyway because I haven't done it before and, you know, it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's what's neat about World of Warcraft. There's so many sides to everything. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd enjoy being a paladin, but I'm really enjoying it because I didn't know that you could do AoE grinding with a paladin. It just never occurred to me that it was an option. But they've got all these spells that basically mean, and talent points that basically mean when a mob hits you, you get health back.
Wow.
And there's seals. Paladins have got all these seals that give you benefits. And if you judge that seal on a mob, you're getting some other benefit back. So you can judge a mob with one seal and put another seal on yourself. So I'll like run into a room and judge a seal of light. So there's a chance that every time one of them hits me, I'll get some health back. So the more mobs I've got beating on me, the more chance I've got of getting health back. So if I run in and aggro two mobs, I might get a little bit of mob health back. But if I run in and aggro six mobs, I'm getting a whole heap of health back.
Wow.
And then I put a seal of wisdom on myself, which gives me a chance to restore mana. So they're all whacking on me, and I'm restoring mana as well. So I'll go in and fight six or eight mobs, and I'll come out with full health and full mana.
That's that bubbling thing that Glanther was talking about. Is that the bubbling thing?
No, that's not using bubbles. No, that's something else again. It's like, well, you know, if something goes wrong and you do lose a lot of health, then I can just bubble and heal myself. It's like,
wow. So Pally's really cool.
They're cool as.
Yeah. I'll have to re-explore that. So, by the way, if you are a paladin and you want to share your paladin experiences or make any comments on the show, you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. So, okay, what else have you been up to?
What else have I been doing? We had a leap year celebration. So, 29th of February, an impromptu. Not a raid, but you know, we formed the raid group, and we all headed out to Stormwind and basically did a slash fart at all the Alliance and the guards standing around outside Stormwind. So you know, it was good times. Of course, inevitably we got flagged for PvP and got spanked. So then we ran off to. I've played in Alliance for so many years and I can't remember the name of Westfall. So we headed down to Westfall and took control of Sentinel Hill. We held that for quite a while before they managed to override us and beat us out. But yeah, good times. That was a lot of fun.
That's like the crossroads, right?
Yeah, it's like the Alliance equivalent of Crossroads. Yeah.
Okay.
And then after that, one of the guildies, Despair, has been wanting to level her fishing, so she had the idea of coming up with a fishing club. So there's a whole bunch of us went out to Mulgore and stood around and fished, and had a chat. So we leveled up to about, I think it was 75 in Mulgore, mm-hmm. and then went off to Whaling Caverns and started fishing Deviant Delights. Mm-hmm. So we're all sitting around the pool in Whaling Caverns, fishing up Deviant Delights and having them cooked up. And so we're all up to about, Ashiel's up to about 150 fishing now,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty good, starting off from nothing.
Yeah.
What else have I been doing?
Did anybody get the
Sorry,
book?
Sorry,
Gil. Did anyone get
the book? No, I don't think so. No,
mm-hmm.
There wasn't actually that many pools. It was just, you know, fishing in the water.
Okay. So it has to be from a pool.
It's got to be from a pool, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Not necessarily a pool of junk, but at least a pool.
Just some sort of pool. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so and Jekyll and Hyde, they've started doing the daily Ogrelar and Shatari Skyguard quests in Blades Edge Mountains. So there's like, well, there's 10 quests you can do, but they can't do all 10 yet because they're just friendly and honoured. But they're a nice money earner anyway, and they're really good to do as a party because like there's a couple of quests like there's a bombing run quest. You got to drop bombs on these fell cannons,
okay.
And they're actually pretty hard to dodge with a standard mount. It's so easy with an epic mount. So I'm trying to save up to get at least Jekyll enough money to buy the highest level flying skill because then he can start doing the druid epic flying form quest. There's actually quite a long quest chain that ends in a heroic dungeon in order to get the druid form for epic flying. So I'm keen to do that. But the bombing runs are good because like Jekyll just goes into cat form and stealths and sits down the bottom and hide flies around and drops all the bombs and they both get credit for the quest. So only one of them does it. Only one of them does it, but they both get 12 gold for doing it. And there's another one that where you got to wrangle these what the hell are they? The nether forget what they're called. They're basically like flying stingray type beasts, and you've got to wrangle them. And again, if you're in a party, you've only got to do it once.
Oh wow!
So you kind of rip through those, and there's another one down in Skedus, another bombing run, and again, I just put Jekyll on follow and hide flies around and bombs all the eggs, and thank you very much. Another quest complete. So I'm hoping that after a couple of weeks of doing that, I should have enough for at least one of them to get their epic flyer.
How much is that, do you know?
Well, the training itself is 5,000.
Oh. Wow.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be a while before I've saved up 10,000. I mean, if I did nothing but farm and do daily quests on all the tombs, I'd get it done quicker, but that doesn't really interest me. I'd rather be doing a variety of stuff than grinding through that. A couple of nights a week now, Ashaya does raiding, so she's pretty much got everything that she needs from Karazhan, out of Karazhan. And we've started doing Gruul's Lair, which is up in, it's a 25-man dungeon in Bladesheads Mountain. And the last couple of weeks, we've one-shot Gruul, so we're getting pretty good at that. So we got a bit cocky and decided we're going to try the Void Reaver, which is actually the second boss in Tempest Keep out in Netherstorm, the ones you have to have a flying mount to get to at the moment.
Yeah.
We got him. The best we've done is we got him down to, mid 30%, so we're doing all right, but you've only got 10 minutes to do it, and after 10 minutes, he enrages and just kills everybody.
Uh-huh.
But again, it's a 25-man instance, and it really requires some coordination, and the team that I'm doing it with, it's not a one guild. We're basically a hodge. I mean, it's semi-pug. I mean, it's not because a whole lot of us have run together regularly, but still, it's not your standard guilds, these 25 people, run with each other every night, are well coordinated and can work as a team easily. So it really requires some bit more coordination and a bit more practice to get there, but we'll get there. So it's fun trying out that stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. I can't wait to get the 70.
Well, that's right. That's like I'm trying to tell you. There's so much more for you to do once you hit 70. It's great to have all these alts and to be able to do all these different things, but there's so much more for you to do if you'd get a tune or two up to 70.
Yeah. I mean, but how long is one of those take, like the Gruul? How long does it take to do that?
Well, Gruul's kind of like, not that you'd probably know, but Gruul's... there's only two bosses in there. There's him and there's one boss before him. So it's not a big instance, all right? So you get it done in if you were coordinated, you get it done in under an hour.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
We probably spend more time standing around out the front trying to get 25 people up there than actually doing the instance.
I wonder what they do on low population servers. It must be really hard, trying to get that many.
Yeah, I mean, 25 is not many, but I mean, yeah, there's the group basically either, consists of alts from large guilds, and alts aren't raiding in those large guilds, or guilds like ours, we're not a raiding guild, and we band together. So there's a guild called Nightlife that basically a whole bunch of us from Layer Act Est run with, and that's the group that we've gone through Karazhan and got geared up and now working on Tempest Keep and doing gruels and
I guess I'm kind of nervous about the whole in-game thing because I do know that part of the requirement is the gear, and if you don't have the really good gear, then
that's true to a degree, but it's a lot depends on the player as well. The gear is really dependent for tanks, but you haven't got any tanks, so it's not as critical.
Tanks are paladins and warriors and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you've kept saying, hunters are easy mode. Hunters, you don't need to be decked out in purples to be able to doing good DPS. So
yeah, I almost feel like I'm cheating with Aunt Lilia and Realfire and Outland because they're both hunters. They both have one of them has Ikea and the other one has Umarilla. Umar, yeah. I named her Umarilla from Barons that they've had for years, for levels. it is years and wow. And they've managed to keep them leveled up and going with them. Although, I forgot. Real Fire saw an elite, I forgot the name of it. Ghost something. It's a level 12, not elite, but a rare, with the silver around it.
Yeah.
In Mulgore, and she was going to try to tame it. And she ran back and found out she had an empty slot in her stable, which, I guess three pets is enough because, you can only level one at a time. And normally you just need an extra slot so that you can learn a new skill and then train your pet that new skill.
Yep.
But so she went and put her pet away and came back and found out that it wasn't tameable. But she was very excited, and the thing was, it was level 12, which means that it would take a while to level.
Right.
Yeah.
Although with 2.4 coming out, they're going to speed up
pet leveling.
Mm. Yep. This 2.4 looks almost as good as 2.3. That is the changes they're making. Lots of good changes. Can't wait for that.
Maybe she'll go to Ghostland and get a dragon hawk. I think a tauren with a dragon hawk. Look at him, cute.
Yeah, all right, cute. Yeah, cute. Let's apply that label to it.
Especially on a Kodos. But they don't run together anymore. Which I like. I like the fact that pets disappear when you mount. Because I remember my pet would get aggro and get hit while it was running alongside of her. I mean, and then sometimes if it was one of the ones that stealthed, I would actually lose it. Because it would, lag behind me. And then I had to summon it. I had to whistle for it when I got off my mount. But now, if I mount and then I get off, it just reappears beside
there.
Me. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to pause here for a second and we're going to go on to what works. So, if you're listening to this podcast, it's probably because you have alts, or you just ran through all your World of Warcraft podcasts and listening to us. And
nothing else left.
Yeah. So, you know, my feelings on alts is that Blizzard designed the game for you to have alts. You know, that's one of the reasons why when you're out there farming something and you're level 30 and something level 20 drops green, you know, you're not going to use it at level 30. But if you had alts, or if you wanted to put it on AH, you could, on the auction house, you could make some money off of it. But when you are, if you haven't done alts, it might just be, you know, you're going into a whole area that you've never explored before. And so we're going to take this section to kind of give you a few tips. And Asheo's going to start off with some tips.
Okay. I'll start off with something that came up this week. And it's not really about alts per se, but naming your alts. And whether I'd rather suspect that a whole heap of people aren't even aware of what Blizzard's policy is on names for characters. They've actually got a fairly well-defined list of what their policy is and examples of it. So, for example, you know, using real-world names like, you know, Coca-Cola or McDonald's, it's banned. Using sentence names with usually more than two words in it. It's like, you know, I kill you is not allowed. And you know, obviously anything offensive in any way is not allowed. And so it kind of came up this week because in the guild, you know, as officers, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that are in the guild that don't have names that really fit that policy, and especially on a role-playing server like Earthen Ring, you know, the naming on them's even more strict than a normal realm. And you hear all the time, and there was another one this week. You know, there was some poor guy that I know I've seen him around for over a year. His name was I Make Toys, and he took a break, and he came back, and you know, within a week of him coming back, someone reported his name, and he got forced to change it. And it's like, but that's what their policy is, and I don't think Blizzard even look at it. If someone reports your name, you basically, when you log in, you get this prompt that says you've been reported. You know, pick another name, and that's it.
Yeah, I when I first started with Ardrion, I had actually named him Control Alt Wow, because I thought it would be neat to have a character with the name of the podcast. But then I realized it was a role-playing server and that Control-Alt-Wow wasn't a role-playing name. And I actually reported myself, and they prompted me to change my name when I logged back in.
Right. And the other thing that it's not against policy, but it, like, I don't know, it makes me cringe. It really irks me as people that make names with all the umlauts and diphthongs, and you know, it's impossible to type their name unless they say something and you shift click on it. You know, it's just, you know, I'm sorry, but I'll be never sending you any mail. You know, don't ask me to mail you anything because you're not going to get it.
Those are all the little fancy characters that you can do that are really supposed to be for phonetic spelling and not for real names.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of European names that are spelt that way, but I mean, I don't want to get controversial, but I mean, yeah, this is a US server, and I wouldn't complain if Blizzard said, well, these are US servers, and we're going to take away the ability for to use those characters in your character names. But yeah, I mean, in terms of naming alts, yeah, I mean, you know, pick something that's fits Blizzard policy, and the reason it came up this week is as officers, you know, is it our responsibility to police Blizzard's policy? You know, if people are applying to the guild, and their name's, you know, offensive in any way, you know, then we'll reject it. But you know, if they're the way that it's been, if people apply to the guild and they're using, you know, real-world names, you know, someone's called, you know, Fanta or Coca-Cola, we haven't been rejecting it, but that doesn't meet Blizzard's naming policy, and, you know, really we probably should be. And, you know, not everybody agrees with that, but that's just the way it is.
You know, I think the thing that I feel about it is that I really like the Guild, Alei Acta Est. And one of the things I like about it is that we seem to be honorable. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I don't see us participating in a lot of trade chatter like some guilds do, and some, you know, non-guilded people. And I like to think that we stand for something important. I mean, I know it's just a game, but, you know, when I see something, a particularly offensive name or even a stupid name, it makes me cringe to see it with the AIE tag. AIE.
Yep.
And well, that brings me to what the comment I wanted to make is, you know, you might be at the screen and you're looking at your character and you're trying to decide whether it should have blue hair or curvy horns. And then you think, ooh, this is a funny name. Ah, let me try this. But, you know, you're gonna really bond with this character. And things are going to develop on in the future that are going to change, you know, how you feel about that name. And you would really not want to get a name that's really stupid just because you think, oh, it's going to be cute, like Snotty Nose. And then later on when you're level 70 and you're, you know, in doing great stuff and you still are Snotty Nose, you're going to think, dang, I really like this character, but gosh, do I really want to run around with the snotty nose?
Yep.
You know.
Exactly.
And I apologize to any of you out there whose character's name is Snotty Nose. I don't mean to single you out, but that was just one of the things that came to my mind. But what's really, the other thing I wanted to say is when you mentioned naming your alts, I also thought about, and maybe this isn't something you particularly agree with, but one of my policies for naming my alts is to give them all different first letters. The reason I do that is when I go to the mailbox. I don't know if you have an add-on or whatever, but I have an add-on called Postal, I think. And if I type the first name,
and
it's either somebody in the guild or somebody I've put on my friends list. Because I have some characters that are in, some toons who are in Alei Acta Est, and some who are in my, are you being, we are here to serve. We live to serve.
We serve to live.
We live to serve. it's easier if they all have different first names, first letters, because then it automatically fills that person up, that name in, you know, as opposed to, you know, having to type the whole name. But of course, it's not as catchy as a Sheo and a Shield and a Shield. Oh, wait, I said that. Oh, wait, no, I didn't. Sorry.
I guess that's another tip that I should have done. Say your names out loud. Actually speak them. Don't just look at how they're typed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they might sound too similar.
Right.
Hey, I want to do a shout-out. I want to do a shout-out to a level 39 shaman on the Nomragon realm in the guild The Synaptic Cleft, and his name is Snotty Nose.
Are you kidding? Oh, you on the
I looked on WoW Armory. There's one character called Snotty Nose, so
and
there you go.
Know
you've offended
that
somebody.
So I'm sorry. So just think before you make a name, and you know, you might not want to live with that name. I mean, yeah, it's just a game, but still.
Right.
So the next
thing for me with alts is, especially with dual boxing, is what works together. I think the hunter and the druid pair works really well together. So basically anything that has some sort of tanking ability along with some sort of healing ability, and, you know, a hunter with a tank type pet and a druid, you know, makes a good combination. A paladin with a priest makes a good combination. You know, somebody asked in the forum the other day, oh, should me and my friend, you know, both roll warriors and go and group together? Well, yeah, you could do that, but you're going to be fighting over all the loot, you know, because you're both warriors. You both want that plate stuff. And if you're warriors, there's probably a good chance, you know, you're going to be a blacksmith, which means you're probably going to be a miner. So you're going to be fighting over all those mining nodes. Think about that sort of stuff. If you're running two characters together, you know, obviously you don't want two miners. You want, you know, a miner and a herbalist, or a miner and a skinner, and using different professions.
I'll tell you one thing that works with me and Aunt Relia and Real Fire. Real Fire and Aunt Relia are both skinners, but that actually kind of benefits Real Fire, because when Aprilian's not with Real Fire, she does a lot of skinning, and then she sends all the leather. And back when Real Fire was pre-Outland, she was getting not hide leather from Aprilian. I mean Aunt Relia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I do have a couple of A's, don't I? I forgot about that.
Yeah, you have three,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, Aunt Relia, Andrea, and Aprilian. But, those are the only three with the same first letters. Okay, anything else for tonight? I think we've done a good show. We've talked about a lot of things, which was incredible because there wasn't any special events going on in Azeroth. I think that's about it.
Make your own events. We have, you know, we have guild events. Yeah, at least once a week. I thought it was good that Lank came up with the 29th leap year celebration. It's just an impromptu, let's go out and have some fun.
Yeah.
Whenever we head to Stormwind, we're going to get our ass whooped. But you know, that's all part of the fun.
It is, and that's another thing. You can do things like that in World of Warcraft. You know, make your own events.
Mm-hmm.
How you want to play. Well, Ashayo, thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again.
I think you and I work very well together. Somebody else told me that. I've gotten a lot of compliments on you, and I hope maybe you can continue being my co-host. And I think that's about it.
Your work schedule permitting?
Yes, my work schedule permitting. And, but we're going to have to do something about the Alliance sign, because that is sorely hurting. And if you're hearing this, Glanther, you know, and you have any comments, Alliance-wise, send them in. You can either email us or even tape a little segment. We'd love to hear from you. I think that about wraps it up. So this is Aprilian saying, for the Horde.
And this is Ashay saying, for the Horde.
May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al-Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.